The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Welcome to another edition of the Computer Corner. It's another Saturday. It's another day in the world of technology, in the world of viruses and spyware and botnets and browser hiccups and patches and all the fun that is computing and navigating the internet. And we're here for the next 2 hours to talk to you a little bit about what's happening in the world of technology, what's happening in the world of those viruses and spyware and things you can do to get your world back in order. If you're looking to make purchases, it's starting to get to be the time of year where people go back to school. And this is a time of year where people make those kinds of purchases that aid in the education process. Then we could talk about those things. We could talk about all kinds of things. The number to talk, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Of course, you can also join us online. It's datadoctors.com/radio. datadoctors.com/radio. You'll find yourself places to ask questions, make suggestions, give us feedback, post in a blog, listen to past radio shows. There's just more than you can even think about there. And of course, today's topic, resources, a little preview of things coming up in the show, all there for you. Again, at datadoctors.com/radio. Gosh, it's been a few weeks, and now I'm complete in rookie status here. I guess I should introduce who's here in the studio today to help you. We are the Data Doctors. To my left, in front of me, Robert D'Arezio.
Perfect. Thank you for having me again.
I've got that pronunciation down. You're a little jealous over there. To my right, Kevin Church. Both guys that are around computers and technology and people with troubles and problems each day, and so they're out there in the real world helping to solve the problems that people have and helping people with, you know, whatever it is that they need to purchase, or if they need advice on something, or if they just want to understand how to do something a little bit easier, a little bit better. And that means they're also here to help you with what your questions are, because I'm sure they're not a whole lot different than what the questions of our everyday sort of customer encounters are. And again, the number, 602-277-5827. I throw that number out now, and you should write it down or remember it, because in a moment, those lines will book up, and then you'll just want to hang out until you hear somebody that we help hang up. Then you'll be able to jump on board, and we'll talk to you. Again, 602-277-5827. We're talking today a little bit about why Firefox might want to become your browser of choice. And I know most of you have heard us talk about Firefox at some point. And Firefox is free, so we're not trying to make any money or make anybody any money. There's a lot of reasons why you might want to consider it. We've talked in the past about it being an alternate browser, but maybe it ought to be your primary browser in that big blue E, Internet Explorer, that's already built into your machine. Maybe it ought to be your alternate. I don't know. So we'll talk about some of those things today and some of the reasons why you might want to switch. And most of those reasons come down to the safety of your machine, the safety of your experience, the vulnerabilities that are out there, lots of those kinds of things. And so we'll talk about those. Plus, there's some cool tools and things, and maybe we'll get Kevin's take on what he uses and why he uses what he uses and the extra add-ons. And if there's extensions that you think are particularly useful or cool, and I mean you, Robert, and I mean you, people listening and calling, we'd love to hear about those things that help speed up the internet experience or make it a little bit more safe, or just add on a feature or function that you think is particularly helpful. Of course, your call, your question need not be about Firefox necessarily. That's just something we'll kind of weave in and out of the show as we move through things. I've been gone for a few weeks, and this all feels weird for some reason, like it's the first time again. Is that
weird?
That
could be a good thing.
I don't know if it's a good thing.
Like excited again and nervous at the same time?
It just feels like the flow is not there. I don't know. Ken was going to be here too. We were going to do the Ken and Brandon thing where we, I don't know what we do, but you know what we do.
Yeah, you guys talk sometimes over each other, sometimes not. And
right.
Every now and then a little drop of knowledge comes out.
A little drop here and there.
We take it and run with it.
Right. But he lost his voice somehow. He sounds, well, for a day or so, he sounded like that old dude Tone Loc from back in the day. And then his voice just went completely gone.
He might have heard that Depeche Mode's coming in town and just got really excited. And
he started screaming and his voice just went out?
Totally.
Depeche Mode. Why do you know that?
Because I saw it on the billboard outside the U.S. Airways when I went to see Tool play.
You went to see Tool, and you're excited about Depeche Mode. What does that say about you and your tastes in general?
I'm amazing.
Okay. So, a quick question. Firefox, Internet Explorer, Chrome, Safari, use whatever's available. If you have a preference, what is it? What's your thing?
You know, for me, I've always used Internet Explorer. There's times where I might use Firefox if Internet Explorer isn't working right or there's an update going on. But for the most part, I've gotten used and comfortable to Internet Explorer. But with all of these vulnerabilities and the fact that Microsoft only releases patches like once a month, I've been reconsidering whether or not Firefox is really safer.
Yeah, the latest thing that's happened that's really sort of brought what we're talking about to the forefront has less to do with Microsoft, but in a roundabout way does. And so what happened this week? Adobe, they're the makers of Flash, the Flash player, which if you go to a site that has video, if you're on YouTube, if you go to, tons and tons of sites these days, Flash Player is something you need to be able to view and consume content. The other thing that they make that's very, very popular is Acrobat. And generally, Acrobat Reader, most everybody has installed. If there's a document, an image, a picture, whatever, PDF is a standard format that now people use. And they're the makers of the both creation tools and the viewing tools for those kinds of things. And so they have a vulnerability that's now, they've got a patch for in both those pieces of software, and it's been around for a while. But people who use Internet Explorer are vulnerable where people who use Firefox and other browsers are not. And so it's one in a series of events that causes us to say, you know, if this keeps happening over and over, regardless of whose fault it is, it's something we ought to talk about, something we ought to point out, and something we ought to bring to the forefront of your mind so that you at least have the facts, you can make a decision, and hopefully we help steer you clear of things out there that are bad for you and that are dangerous. So we'll talk a little bit more about browsers as the show progresses. Again, if you've got questions about that or whatever your issue is, you want to know about purchasing something new, we can help with that as well. We've got advice. We've got help. We've got three guys here that can hook you up with mad knowledge and mad skills, and that's with a Z, because that's how we roll.
Word.
Word.
Off the hizzle.
A quick timeout here. When we come back, your calls, your questions, 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about why Firefox should be your browser of choice. Mostly due to vulnerabilities that are out there that put you in danger if you're using that big blue E, Internet Explorer. We've got resources posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio. Or if you can't figure out the whole slash thing, datadoctors.com, click where it says radio show, you'll find the same place. And you'll see this week's links. The first one is a link to go download Firefox. And if you don't already have it on your machine, you've never tried it before, this could be like a live, interactive little piece here. Go ahead and start that download process right now and get that thing going. I promise you won't be disappointed. You can always not use it And if you don't like it, you can always uninstall it. But get that started. As we talk further on through the show, we'll talk about some of the extensions. Those are additional little pieces you can add on that are our favorites and why. And there'll probably be some of them that'll ring home with you that you'll be interested in. And you might just learn something. It's not our fault if you do. To the phones?
To the phones.
Let's find out what Greg thinks about browsers. Greg, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you and love the show. Question, we have a brand new laptop, just powered it up. It's a ThinkPad, planning on loading Vista. And other than the operating system...
Hang on, Greg. You brand new laptop?
Yes.
Just powered it on, and you're planning on loading Vista. What did it come with?
Well, it's at the Vista setup screen. We also purchased the download to XP.
Okay.
I guess we're leaning towards XP. That was my first question.
Well, so first of all, so you understand, it already came pre-installed with Vista. All that's left, what it's starting with right now, is like this little setup wizard that's just going to ask you a few questions to personalize it to you, like your name and a password and how you connect to the internet, that kind of thing.
Right.
But Vista's already on it right now. So for you to go downgrade to Windows XP would be to start all over, and you want to make that decision pretty soon. Here's what happens. If you decide you're going to play with Vista today and you get it all set up and get it set up for your email and get your background just the way you like it and get your programs installed, and then 2 weeks from now you go, you know, yeah, I think I want to go Windows XP. There's no way to take what you've got and turn it into Windows XP. You've got to start all over.
Yep, lose it all. Okay.
Right. So that's why I'm saying you got to kind of make that decision. It's a fork in the road that you're standing in front of now. Now, if you want to play for a day or two to see what you think about Vista, great, go for it. I wouldn't spend a lot of time getting it looking and feeling the way you want, though, before you make that decision.
Okay. My experience up to this point has been with XP. I haven't ever used Vista. Would you guys recommend go ahead and go with Vista and just, you know, deal with the learning curve?
Well, I'll tell you something. You're in a weird spot with buying a computer now, because not only do you have this decision about Vista versus XP, Windows 7's coming out here.
Yeah.
Next couple of months, and that may be another choice you want to make.
And did your machine come with the upgrade coupon so that when Windows 7 comes out, you're entitled to that with a real minimal shipping charge?
No.
Okay. Most machines, every machine that we're selling in our stores today comes with that, so it doesn't cost you when that comes out now in a few months. And I don't know what your situation is or where you got this or what their ability is to work with you or return it or whatever, but you know, if you're going to consider that, you're going to spend money again in a few months, and there's lots of ways that, I mean, a lot of manufacturers are offering that right now, that upgrade coupon. So
okay.
The other thing to keep in mind is that if you decide to upgrade down the road to Windows 7, there's no upgrade path from Windows XP to Windows 7. You can't skip the in-between.
Okay.
So you can upgrade Windows Vista to Windows 7, no problem. But you'll be starting all over again if you decide to go to Windows 7 from Windows XP.
Gotcha.
Lots of things to throw in there to influence your decision. If it was me, all things being equal, not knowing anything about what you're going to use it for, I'd go with what's on it today, right now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay, thank you on that. The primary question I had is, I've used McAfee antivirus on our other systems. You know, what recommendations do you have on antivirus, spyware, other security, safety type of applications that we should load on there to make sure we're secure?
Right. This is a very common question, one we get all the time. And this gets into a little bit of a Dodge versus Chevy versus Ford kind of conversation, where you ask three different people and you're going to get three different answers.
Yeah,
I can tell you that what you want is something that gets you covered in all your bases, but that doesn't go overboard. And so what I mean by that is, there are some of these companies, and McAfee and Symantec are generally the bigger guilty parties in this area, where they load you up with things you need and a bunch of stuff you don't. And that creates conflict and slows your machine down and creates problems. And so our general advice is to get something that pairs a good antivirus and anti-spyware, anti-adware, all in one, generally these days just called anti-malware. What we sell and what we recommend to customers that come into our shops is something called WebRoot. And it's antivirus with anti-spyware. It may also come with a firewall. That's fine too. I wouldn't get anything more than those two or three components in whatever it is you're going to purchase.
Okay.
And look, if you've got some time, go to our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Look back two or three radio shows, and you're going to see there, we did a show very recently, and we'll talk more about that when we come back. What do you think, Robert?
I'm excited.
You're excited?
I'm excited.
You think another hour and a half a show we'll be able to do this?
Oh, heck yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going back on the air now, so you guys ready?
Oh, I didn't know I was on.
Let's do it.
All right. Hey, so before we went to break, we were talking with Greg and Brandon, that's me. I wasn't paying attention somehow and didn't realize that our time had run out, and Pete let me know. He reminded me. But we were talking about... Well, we were talking about a couple of radio shows ago that we had done a show completely on the topic that Greg was asking about, which was, well, there's all these different choices, and there's McAfee, and there's Norton, and there's this, and there's that, and there's 100 different things, and what do I get, and do I consider paid stuff or free stuff, or what's the best? And I was pointing out that we had done a show about 4 weeks ago. The title of the show is Deciphering Anti-Malware Software Options, and we discuss all the different options out there. We have links to a bunch of different groups that are out there that are sort of impartial third parties that rank different anti-malware solutions. We talk about the difference between pay versus free, just all kinds of stuff out there. And the way you can navigate to and find that would be to go to our website, datadoctors.com, click where it says radio show, and then if you look, there's links to look at the previous show and all shows. If you just click where it says all shows, you'll see Deciphering Anti-Malware Software Options from July 11th. It's that easy. Or you could use our new cool site search feature and just type in anti-malware, and it will find it in the top two or three things there. So either way, there's a plethora of resources for Greg and anybody else interested there for you. Let's go back to the phones, see if we can hook more people up with our mad knowledge, skills, and such. Up next is Mike in Phoenix. Mike, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hey, hello.
Howdy. Hey, before we jump into your question, web browsers, what do you primarily use to surf the internet?
The Blue E.
The big Blue E. And have you tried the other Firefox?
No.
No? Any? Are you compelled at all based on some of the stuff we've talked about today, or we haven't gotten you there yet?
I'm compelled a little bit. I was going to try it once I get off the phone and fix the problem I got now.
Good plan. I think you won't be disappointed. And like I said, keep listening after we talk. And we'll talk about some of the things that I think, beyond just the basic browsing the internet, there's some extra things that you can do that I think are pretty slick, including speeding up the way pages load, making it so you can download more things concurrently, all kinds of good stuff. So stay tuned for all of that. But on to your question, Mike. What can we help with?
I got a brand new HP computer, and it came with a TV card in it. And when I play Windows Media Center with the live TV, the picture flickers. And I called HP, and they ran me through rebooting the computer, wiping everything out, sent me a new TV card, and I still have the problem.
When you say it flickers, give me some more background on that, or a better description of that.
Like the picture jumps.
So it's not like a flicker like the old school. You'd play a VCR and it would like jump up and down, like tracking problems. It's not like that. It's more like stuttering.
It's like that. It jumps up and down.
Okay. And so what's plugged in? So what's plugged into the computer to the connection there? Does it just come from the wall like a coax cable or?
Yeah, coax cable.
Okay. Is there another cable outlet somewhere in the room or in the house you could try plugging into to see if it's that coax outlet?
Yes, I had Cox come out here and they tested the signal and everything, and they said I was getting a good signal.
So everything's awesome according to them, and you said HP's walked you through basically wiping everything out and reloading, and they've also sent you out a replacement TV tuner card?
Yes.
Wow.
I looked online, and a lot of people are having the problems with these HPs. And the tuner card, the WinTV HVR 1290,
uh-huh.
I looked online for that, and on their website, they don't even have that listed on their website.
Yeah, it's probably a card that's very similar to another they make. This one's made specifically for HP, for their Media Center PCs, is my guess. That's common in the industry, that they'll make a specific card to a specification for, you know, HP or Gateway or whoever it might be. I can tell you, I've used and do currently use the Media Center software that's built into both Vista and Windows 7. It works pretty well, assuming you have the right hardware. They've swapped out the hardware for you, so I would tend to think it's not a hardware issue. They've reloaded the OS. I mean, it's all the things that I would check. It sounds like people have checked. You said you had Cox out, and have you tried just for the fun of it, hooking it up to a different coax outlet in the house somewhere?
Yes, and okay. I got another computer with a TV card on it, an older computer.
Yep,
and it works fine on that one. Just a TV card. I didn't have Windows Media Center on my older computer.
So you said that a lot of people online that have the same model of HP computer seem to have the same kind of problem.
Yes.
And have you tried putting this back in HP's lap to see what they can do for you, or are they said basically you're on your own?
No, I spent about 10 hours on the phone with them so far.
Yeah, that is the joy. You know, we talk about all the time, people call up about, well, you know, I'm looking to buy a computer, and I'm looking at a Dell, and I'm looking at an HP, I'm looking at a Toshiba, I'm looking at all these different brands, and they ask about which one's the best. And something we talk about that's hitting home for you right now is what you buy is not nearly as important as who you buy it from. And really what that means is the experience you're going to have after the fact. When you have a problem, what's that like? So do you have to take your computer to someplace? Do they come to you? Do you call on the phone? If you do, is it somebody local? Is it somebody in the U.S.? Is it somebody overseas? How does that process work?
Overseas.
And so this is one of the things that, you know, you're in the situation now, and I don't know that I have a great answer for you, but others listening can learn from and maybe think about when they're going to purchase their next computer. Is there, if whatever option you come to is okay with you, great. But if you want somebody that you can take it to, that you can hand it to, that is local, that you can talk to on the phone by dialing a local area code, and it's not going overseas, then that's a different kind of thing. And again, the product is not as important as who you're buying it from and their support mechanisms.
Uh-huh.
Kevin, you had something?
Yeah, sometimes too. I've seen that problem quite a bit, and it really depends on each situation, but if you're using the Media Center software from Microsoft that's on the PC, there could be a problem with how that communicates with the device itself. That's the input. The other thing is, depending on what that device is, if you look through the computer and find out who actually makes the card, sometimes those companies will have a piece of software that allows you to watch TV to test it that way. Thirdly, too, although that particular cable may work in your TV and it's not in your computer, doesn't mean that the signal strength is strong enough for the computer to decipher consistently. So there is a couple things that you can do on your own just real quick and check before you take it somewhere. The first thing that I would do is see if there's another piece of software through the manufacturer that made the card that you can test and see if it works with that.
And actually, there's a show we did. This is kind of like what we talked to Greg about, Mike, a few weeks ago, actually on June 20th. We did a radio show titled The Ins and Outs of Home Theater PCs. And
okay.
In that show, we have a bunch of resources posted on our site, and we'd link directly to a couple of free trial, at least, pieces of software you can download that work with most every tuner card made. So you could experiment and bypass what Microsoft has built in to see if this is a software issue or not. And you could go grab one of the more common, more popular pieces of software out there like Sage TV or a bunch of different things that are out there that exist that are free or like I said, some free trial stuff at least, just to determine is this an issue with the Windows software itself or not.
Okay.
So if you want to find that stuff, again, our site, datadoctors.com, click on radio show, and then on all shows, you'll see back on the 20th of June, the ins and outs of home theater PCs, lots of resources there for at least some software things you could try that won't cost you anything but a little bit of your time.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
You bet. Good luck with that, and thanks for listening. Keep listening for what we're going to talk about, like I said, coming up on the show here with in regards to Firefox and why you might want to at least consider that and go give it a spin.
All right, will do.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That frees up a line, 602-277-5827.
You know, those media centers are cool when they work.
They are. They're kind of tough to get kind of working right, but once you get everything set up and get past that finickiness, it's a pretty cool experience.
They really did try to make it fairly easy, but it can be a little tricky.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is you know, there's the software side of things, the hardware side of things, and the underlying operating system side of things, and then of course you have the cable side of things, or your satellite or whatever it is, and so there's a lot of different pieces that have to work properly together. And if we only had one kind of source, meaning satellite or cable, or you know, there's five or six different flavors of cable and things out there, if we only had one source and we only had a couple of different manufacturers of the cards themselves that go in the machine, and there were less variables, it probably would be a lot easier to make all this work more consistently. But
the houses would be made out of gingerbread, and we'd all drive candy canes. And
we drive candy canes?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Candyland.
Wow.
Taking you back.
Taking me back. Speaking of taking me back, Tom has some kind of delay when he's sending email, and he's taken back by it. Tom?
Hello.
Have I lied?
I am taken back. I want to see that candy cane.
Exactly. So do we.
Hey, I get the Data Doctor's newsletter. Was reading it last night. I use Firefox, and I went on and did a number of the tweaks on the About Config section and all that. I have Cox high-speed internet, and when I'm on email, when I try to reply or compose a new email, that seems to take forever.
Okay, Tom, let me ask you a couple of questions. You said when I'm on email, is that a program that you're opening?
Well, when I'm on my Cox email or webmail site.
So it's webmail and it's not Outlook Express, some mail client?
No.
Okay.
No.
So
it's the Cox webmail.
Right, so you're in the webmail, and you go to click on reply or do something. There's a little bit of delay before it brings up the screen that then lets you compose a new message or what
have
you.
Well, I can go on, and it's after I've completed my message and I hit send. It seems like it will sit there sending forever before it completes it.
When you say forever, are we talking about 30 seconds, 10 minutes?
No, I've actually gone 3 minutes, 4 minutes, depending on the size of the message.
Okay. And is this something that you notice more when you have attachments versus when you don't?
More so with attachments, yes.
Okay. So there's a couple of things. When you have an attachment, it has to upload that whole attachment, and it's doing that when you press the send button. So, yeah, the bigger the attachment, the longer it's going to take, and that's part of what you get with webmail. If that's not the experience you're looking for, you'd need to instead use Windows Mail or Outlook Express or something built into the PC, or go get one of the mail clients like Thunderbird, which is a Mozilla product. Lots of choices out there.
Another thing that a lot of people don't realize when they say, you know, hey, I got high-speed internet, is that when you download something to your computer, it is way faster than when you copy something from your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So that upstream is what they call it. When it's going out, is a whole lot slower than anything you're going to be copying to your computer.
That's just part of the experience with webmail. The upside to webmail is that you've got nothing to configure when you get a new PC or when you're over at your friend's house or across the country or across the world. You can get into the same thing and all your stuff's right there. So there's a trade-off,
right.
But if that's something that really bugs you and you're willing to give up that trade-off, then you have to install local mail software, and you call up Cox Support. They can help you with that. You've got software built into your computer right now that can do it. So
okay.
It's just a matter of getting it configured.
But the tweaks on Firefox were very easy to reconfigure.
Good.
And I did notice a change when I restarted and started using it again.
So we've done well in your book.
Yes, and keep the weekly newsletters coming.
Absolutely, we will. Thanks for the call, Tom. We got to run. We got a quick timeout here. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. And coming up on the show, our Geek Speak of the Week. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about why Firefox. specifically why Firefox should become your browser of choice, or at least you ought to make it a consideration. We've got resources posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio, and like the last caller, Mike, that we talked to, he said keep the newsletters coming because he learned something, and the something that he learned, in fact, worked. If you want to become a subscriber just like Mike, you can do that at our website, too. Datadoctors.com. Just look for the place where you can put in your email address and hit the subscribe button. And it's pretty much as easy as that. And it's our list. It's not somebody else's list. And we don't rent it, sell it, farm it, participate in it, share it, anything. So if you join us, you're not joining anyone else. And if you want to get a sample of what we're sending so you can see, don't take my word for it, that it's garbage-free and spam-free and just free of yuck, you can view the last 20 in our email archives right there next to the place where you put in your email address and subscribe. So check those things out. Again, our site, datadoctors.com, the easiest place to find all that is in our free help center and then where it says weekly newsletter. So check them out. Firefox talk? Robert, we haven't talked to you about Firefox. We know he just uses the Big Blue E, but now he's maybe reconsidering the Big Blue E thing.
Well, before the whole tech world for me, I had someone install Firefox, and I said, get that off. That's for the devil.
Wait, the whole tech world for you, what's that mean?
Before I really got into the whole computer, when I was first kind of starting out.
Before you came to the dark
before
side.
Before I came to the dark side of the computer world.
So somebody installed the
Firefox, and I said, uninstall. It's for the devil.
Why is it for the devil?
Well, because I was just used to using the Big E for the longest time, right?
So hey, this is good, though. From the perspective of, I've always used the Big E, and you're telling me there's something else, but I don't want to hear it. It's not good.
Exactly.
Why did you think such things?
There's nothing better than Microsoft Internet Explorer.
Gotcha.
It came with my Windows, Microsoft Windows.
And if it came right? with it, factory installed is always better than aftermarket. We know that, right?
That's what they say.
Right. And not if you look at Robert's car. There's hardly anything on that car that's factory installed anymore.
Nothing.
So you, at some point, decided to give Firefox at least a look, a sniff, a try, a taste, a flavor, whatever. And today, what is it that you use on a regular basis, David?
I deleted the shortcut from Internet Explorer. I unpinned Internet Explorer off my taskbar.
Now you've made it the devil.
Now I've made it the devil.
Now I think that might be a little harsh. I personally think that there's a place and a time for both. And if nothing else, let this show compel you to go give it a try. And in the second hour, which is just right around the corner here, we're going to talk about some of the... Forget the vulnerability stuff, because that's boring, right? Nobody cares. Not me. It's not going to happen to me. Forget that stuff. What about the cool stuff? We're going to talk about the cool stuff in the second hour. Some of the things you can do with extensions and add-ons. And the number of add-ons available for Firefox. 152,634,834. As of yesterday, there's probably a few more. So we'll talk about those things and, of course, more of your calls and questions. Our Geek Speak of the Week coming up as well. Stick around for all those things. We are the Data Doctors. You're listening to the Computer Corner. And we want you to stick around. I promise it'll pay off.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it. Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
It's hour number two of the Computer Corner. And you're plugged in, you're ready to rock and roll, so are we. We're talking about Firefox, why it should become your browser. In the first hour, we focused on some of the vulnerabilities that exist with the other guy's stuff. And if that didn't compel you to give it a shot, give it a download, give it a try, then hopefully this second hour, some of the things we'll talk about with regard to some of the extensions, add-ons, and tweaks and things you can do to speed up and make your internet experience maybe just a little cooler, a little bit more fun, a little easier, a little faster.
A little error-free.
A little less error-prone or more error-free, depending on half empty or half full. Either way. We'll talk about those things. And, of course, more of your calls and questions. George, Ben, Doug, Dan, and Mike, you all are hanging out there. You dialed 602-277-5827, which is the number for you to dial when you hear someone else hang up that we hook up with Mad Knowledge and Skills. But before all of that, something we do each and every week. It is time. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert and Kevin, Froggy Speed of the Week. Anticlimactic, right? Each and every week, we bring you a phrase, a term, some jargon from the world of geekdom, translate it to the world of, well, English, and help you be better armed when you're at that cocktail party and Mr. Geek sidles on over and says, well, whatever geek speak stuff he says, you'll know what he's saying and how to respond back. This week's Geek Speak of the Week is what, Robert?
It is three-click rule.
Is that like three blind mice?
Three blind mice. Close.
See how they run? Oh, sorry, I got confused. I was thinking about gingerbread and candy canes. Sorry. So three-click rule.
Three-click rule.
What's the three-click rule, Robert?
Well, it's a web designer's rule, so we're going to look at the terminology of a web designer.
The supreme geeks.
The supreme geeks, right. The ultimate. It suggests that a user of websites should be able to find any information in about three clicks.
In about three clicks. Now, it's got to be...
No more.
Rules are
no
are
more
not,
than three clicks.
I got a problem now. You don't have something called a rule, and then you say about.
That's...
It has to be, right? You have to find it within three clicks, period.
Within three clicks.
Otherwise, it's not a rule. It's a suggestion.
It's a suggestion.
And it wouldn't be the three-click rule. It'd be the three-click suggestion. We're talking about a rule. So, for any of you out there that are listeners that have a business, manage a business, run a business, own a business, are in some way involved with the business, you have a website. And that website, if you want it to be friendly for people that navigate it, a.k.a. consumers, or other businesses that you do business with, or whatever the case might be, you want to make sure that any content that's on that site, somebody comes to your homepage, they click on your product service section, and then they click on the particular product or service you offer. That's three clicks, right? If they have to make more than those three clicks to get to the content they want on your site, probably got to think about a better way, a different way, to get that stuff laid out so that it fits within the three-click rule.
There is definitely some exceptions to that rule. Right now,
you sound like a government program. Exceptions to the rule, sir.
Yeah. I looked at there's a website. It's called hotel626.com.
No. You can't.
Just listen to this.
You can't talk about the adult sites you visit,
no,
sir.
I know, but this one's awesome.
Okay.
It's a website that looks like it's just advertising Doritos. Okay. But what it is a hotel that you navigate through. Mm-hmm. And I whimpered a few times. It's a little scary. It's the website you can actually only view between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Otherwise, it's closed and they tell you to book a reservation. But it's...
Wait. It's 6 p.m. So you can only view it like
that's,
overnight.
That means nighttime.
Basically. Right. But yeah. 6, and then that's in your local time zone or in their fictitious time zone?
I don't know. I checked it at 7 p.m. and I could get on.
All right.
But it's a hotel you go through and you click. And the point of it, the more you click, the more you get into it, right?
Okay.
Things are jumping out everywhere and there's...
This is a game. That's a big bit different than a website.
But the point of it... is to get to the end to see some advertisement. It takes like 10, 15 minutes, but it will call you on your phone when you give the number.
I don't want to do
and give
that.
You instructions on where to walk.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
It's a little scary.
I don't want to do any of that.
It's not something a kid should go to. It's not adult, but
no.
It's just a little freaky.
Huh.
Like when you wake up
it
in the
made
morning.
You whimper.
Like somebody stepped on My Little Pony.
Can you give us an example of a whimper on your little pony?
My Little Pony. Like somebody stepped on My Little Pony.
You mean the little toy that my daughter at 6 plays with?
That's the point. I whimpered like a little girl. It made me a little afraid.
I want that sound.
You got to scare me to get it.
Oh, man. I'm sure everybody listening wants that sound. So the point of what I was talking about, if you have a business, take that into consideration. I mean, Kevin's funny. Kevin, amongst other things, he drives the business services part of what we do. In our regular sort of day jobs, right? And although we don't do websites and design and things, it's something oftentimes people that we're doing regular work for, taking care of the networks, whatever. They're asking us, hey, I've got a site, or I want to get a site built. What do you think? Or, you know, I've done this, my do-it-yourselfer thing, and what do you think? And every page has different navigation, and it takes you 55 clicks to get anywhere. And unless it's an online game you're making that has a point and a purpose, and it has a payoff at the end that consumers are willing to live through, the general advice is get it within 3 clicks. Otherwise, it must not be that important, and people probably won't spend the time to find it. No, the 3-click rule.
I spent about 10, 15 minutes on that thing.
All right, it's the 3-click suggestion. I'm over it now. Back to the phones? What time is it? Oh, if I do that, his flames will burst out of his ears and smoke or fog, or I don't know. Uh-oh, I think he's going to turn my mic off now. I didn't mean anything bad by that. I just meant that, it's not a good time to do that. So we've got some resources posted for you about Firefox, some of the extensions, some of the add-ons, some of the tweaks, some of the things you can do to speed up, to increase the fun of or the usefulness of your browsing experience. You can get those links, those resources at datadoctors.com/radio. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about some of the cool add-ons that we use, some of the things that will help keep you even more protected, including something called NoScript. Want to know what NoScript does? Stay tuned. Just hanging out on another awesome Saturday afternoon. What is it? 106 degrees outside?
Oh,
here at the Uptown Studios of KTAR.
I really know about that 100-degree temperature.
Yeah, something happened to your AC. It's gone?
It fried last week.
But most importantly, the car looks cool.
Exactly.
We were talking earlier, he's got hardly anything that's factory on that car anymore. He's got these crazy ground effects things that extend it down and make it bigger and wider, and crazy wheels and tires and interior everything.
And guess what?
Yes, he doesn't work
there. I have a car.
Yeah.
Had a car that I paid $2,000 for. Guess what it did?
What?
Got me from point A to point B. Yeah. Same thing yours does.
I just get there faster.
Well, and what did you get last week?
What did you get?
I got no air conditioning.
And what else did you get?
And what? A ticket.
A ticket. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Got there faster, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
When, by the time you stopped and dealt with that ticket, and later you're going to either go and go to court and pay a fine, or go to a class for 8 hours, was it faster?
Not exactly.
I bet you it takes me less than 8 hours to get across town.
And I bet that the day that you get to go to court, I'll probably go ahead and go to the store and for $6 get a six-pack of Heineken. And just
adult beverage, sir.
Whatever. My bad.
Yeah.
And relax.
Well, the positive thing is I could take that class online.
I'll probably just lay
down. Use Mozilla Firefox.
I'll lay down on the couch, too. I might do that.
Sorry to interrupt, but Victor has a question. He's been on hold for a really long time. We really appreciate that. Victor, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help, sir?
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah, I have a Dell Inspiron 1501, and I am out of warranty right now. And whenever I switch on the power, it says battery cannot be recognized. Press any key to continue. And when I press that, it boots up. And I check the power, it is 100% there.
Okay, the battery it's talking about is probably not the battery you're thinking about. And what I mean by that is the battery that powers the laptop, the main battery, it's probably not talking about that. That message you're seeing is talking about the battery associated with the computer's BIOS. And so there's a little battery, usually about the size of a watch battery, that's going to be inside of that laptop somewhere. And what happens is that thing's designed to help the computer keep its basic memory about real basic functions, like when I power on, what kind of disk drives do I have, and what kind of other accessories and features and those kinds of things.
Okay.
And so that battery is likely needs to be replaced.
Okay.
And it's not a huge deal if you don't replace it. What's going to happen is it may forget about a few things. You're going to get this annoying message you're getting now. Things like your date and time are going to be reset to a weird date and time back in the past somewhere.
I think that's happening right now.
Yeah, so that'll continue to happen until that battery is replaced. The good news is that battery is very inexpensive, a couple of bucks. The labor to get it done, depending on the laptop you have and some other complexities, it can take as much as an hour or two to get in there and get that done, or it could be just a few minutes on some of the ones that are built a little bit better and easier to service. So
Thank you so much.
You bet, Victor. Thanks for the call. That battery thing, that happens not just in laptop computers. It happens in desktop computers as well. Generally not a user serviceable kind of replacement thing unless you're pretty handy and not afraid of getting inside that thing. So
normally they don't want you to take the whole thing apart.
Yeah, some of those laptops, you got to tear them down to almost nothing to get to them. Some of them, you just take out a few screws and or lift out a keyboard or something real simple and get to them. So it really kind of depends, but it's the BIOS battery. You know what BIOS stands for, Robert?
Not exactly.
Kevin wants to know. Kevin knows what it is. Right, Kevin?
You know, there's so many acronyms that I don't care about. BIOS, I know what it is, but I don't know what it
Basic
stands for.
Basic Input-Output System.
I'll forget that in 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's important. You'll need to know that one. Remember that one. You know, Doug has a problem, too. We should talk to him and find out what's going on with his computer. Doug, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Well, I don't have really too much of a problem. I'm somewhat of a rebel, and that's my problem.
You're a rebel? Well, welcome to the club, sir.
Yes, I'd like to know, I try to buy a laptop with a Norwegian keyboard, and I can't seem to get anywhere. And I don't even know if there's any software to make up for the extra letters in the Norwegian language.
Well, so there's a couple of things. You bought a laptop that has a keyboard that doesn't...
No, I want to get one.
You want to get a Norwegian one?
Yeah. But I want the computer and all that to be in English. I just want the Norwegian keyboard.
On purpose?
On purpose, yeah.
Okay, well, you can...
I got friends and family in Norway that I write to every now and then. And, you know, yeah, you can't go to the internet. And, you know,
you can certainly, I mean, you're going to have a hard time finding that, but I'm sure the internet is your friend and you can find a Norwegian keyboard.
I actually looked it up. There are some out there and they can be as cheap as...
Well, you can find one for a desktop, but what if you want to buy a laptop?
You'll have to search by the specific model and manufacturer of the laptop and you can find a replacement keyboard, or you could get a keyboard that you can plug in via USB and use it sort of on the side. So if it was me, I'd get a laptop made for the good old US of A and then get yourself a USB Norwegian keyboard that you can plug in so that when you want to go that way, it's just a quick plug in and go. Now, you'll also probably have to turn on some language preferences inside of Windows. And you can find that at the control panel under the language section. You may have to go download a Norwegian keyboard layout format. But I
didn't have that problem with my desktop.
If you've already done this with your desktop, then you already know all the steps. You just need to go get yourself a Norwegian USB keyboard, and you're rocking and rolling, sir.
Okay, I was just hoping I could buy one already with the.
I bet you you're gonna. It's you're. I mean, you can, but you're gonna have a much harder time here in the U.S. finding that. You're probably gonna spend a lot more money than you would go on the other route. So that's up to you. Google is your friend if that's what you want to do, or eBay.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Doug. Good luck. We got to take a time out here, get you caught up with some traffic and news and weather and all the other good stuff going around here, the state, the country, and the world. When we come back, more of your calls and questions, and of course, more about Firefox, why it should become your browser of choice. Stick around. It's the Computer Corner. Back after this. Half an hour left to show. If you missed any part, you want to get yourself caught up, you want to see resources to why Firefox ought to become highly considered for your browser of choice for your daily use, both for security, speed, and awesomeness reasons, all that information, datadoctors.com/radio, datadoctors.com. Click where it says radio show. Either way, we'll get you there to those resources, to the information, and to everything we've talked about today, including links to past shows where you can listen to audio archives of the shows in their entirety and see the resources. Two different people today that we've talked to that had questions, issues, wanted to know the answers to things. We referred them to past shows and content specific we had done to their questions. So there's lots and lots of stuff there, years and years of content available for you. And if you're looking for something on our site, check out our new site search feature, top left corner of every page. You can type in things just like you would into Google and hit search, and it will search our site. The reason you can type it just like you would if you were in Google is because it's powered by Google. So you know it's going to be awesome. Back to the phones. Up next, it's Mike, who's been holding for a really, really long time. We really, really appreciate it, Mike. We really, really want to help. What really, really is your question?
Help, help, help.
Help, help, help.
Yes, I've got a thing that came up on my computer under warning. It says the file or directory C / program files / common files / semantics shared / eEngine / ePersist data is corrupt and unreadable. And then it says, please run the check disk utility, and I can't get to it. I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm computer stupid.
It's computer stupid. That's pretty harsh. We're not going to
call that. No, I do two things on the computer. I play Scrabble, and I balance my checkbook.
So
the wife and kids do everything else.
Well, all those slashes
yes.
are basically saying, here's a file in right. this place way out over here on the drive, and it's missing, damaged, corrupted, something's wrong. And Microsoft is saying, Windows is saying to you, we think you ought to try as a preliminary step, something easy, which isn't going to probably solve your problem, by the way, but you ought to try running CheckDisk. And so if you want to run CheckDisk, which doesn't hurt at all, probably won't solve your problem, but if you want to give it a shot, you click on Start and go over to Programs or All Programs or however's listed on your machine, then Accessories, and finally System Tools. You will find CheckDisk there? No, you will not. It's moved on me. All right, hang on a second.
Where'd it go?
There's another way to get... There's always more than one way to get to anywhere you want to go, right? If you click on Start, do you see My Computer or just Computer?
My Computer.
Okay, if you open up My Computer and right-click on... Under Hard Drives, it should say Local Disk, like C or something like that, right?
Okay.
If you right-click on that and go down to Properties...
I'm still trying to find...
You have hard disk drives anywhere, or just do you
it
see
says hard disk HP Pavilion C?
Perfect. Right click on that.
Okay.
Go down to Properties.
Properties. Okay.
Click on that. You've got that open now. There's a lot of different tabs at the top. One of them says Tools.
Got it.
And we don't mean tools like Kevin. We mean tools like things to fix.
Yes.
The first one at the top of those tools, once you've clicked on the Tools tab, says Error Checking.
Right.
And says Check Now.
Okay.
That is Check Disk.
Cool.
Aren't you excited? Now, there's a couple of different options in there that you can check, which is like automatically fix this, that, and the other, and scan for and attempt recovery of bad sectors. The first one, you definitely want to check. The second one, I probably would, but I'll warn you, it's going to take a long time for that check to complete.
Why did it come up and says Windows unable to complete this disk?
Yeah, it's going to warn you it's unable to complete it. It's probably going to ask you it to restart, and when you do, when you restart your computer, it's going to complete it while Windows is starting up because it needs to sort of be able to get exclusive access to everything. So if you just go ahead and say, I understand all that, and then it's going to have you restart Windows, or if it doesn't, you just go click Start, Shut Down, and restart the computer.
Okay.
It's going to take a while. It's going to go through. It's going to check out everything on your drive. And if it finds something, it's going to attempt to fix it. And if it can't, it's going to give you warning messages and tell you the world is evil and all those things. Now, before we go too far down this path, you have whatever is important to you that you care about backed up, or what's important to you?
Yes.
Okay, good. So... there's no danger in doing this. It probably won't make things a whole lot better, but it just may.
Okay.
It's going to go through this whole process, and when it's done, you can then get back into Windows and see if your problem's resolved. If not, what I'd recommend is uninstall and reinstall your Symantec, your antivirus software, which is what it's complaining about.
Okay.
Because in all likelihood, if this doesn't resolve your issue, that will. And so the big thing you want to do is make sure before you uninstall it that you have the software to reinstall from, whether it's a disk or a download, whatever the case is, and that you have whatever license key or product key associated with that software there is.
Okay.
Does that all make sense to you?
Sounds good. I've got people listening on the radio in the other room.
Perfect.
So
well, just,
if it doesn't, they should get it.
And just in case they missed any of it, we do record the shows and we post audio archives. Now, it probably won't be up until Monday.
Okay.
But you'll be able to find that at our site. At datadoctors.com under radio show, and you can listen back to it.
Alrighty.
And everybody can listen to this.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. That was a little painful, but not bad, right?
Not bad. One of the few people we actually get a chance to talk to that back up.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen a whole lot.
I was shocked when he said yes. But, you know, more and more people are starting to do it now. I think people have owned computers long enough that they're starting to figure out that when things go wrong, they really go wrong. So maybe I should do that. And now online backup is becoming more prolific, being offered more places by more folks at better prices. And that makes it easier to say yes. The stuff that's, you know, sort of the external hard drive based backups becoming lower and lower in price and easier to use. A lot of things making it easier and easier for consumers to do what's good for them. So that's all good.
I always tell people if their computer were to melt right now,
melt?
What could they not go out? Not be without as far as what's in their system.
It's hot out, but I don't know if it's that hot.
Well, you never know. It might melt.
If it were to melt, right?
If
now.
It were to melt, do you have photos not backed up?
Maybe. I don't know. Photos not backed up. I'm trying to think about my home PC. And I'm one of those guys that should know better. And so I got to admit right now, I got stuff right now that would be lost that I haven't backed up.
Uh-oh.
There's a story, though. See, I bought about a year ago something called Windows Home Server, and I installed it, and it was awesome, and it backs everything up automatically on all the computers in the house, and it's super cool, right? And then we decided to move, and so I packed it in a box for moving, and we got to the new house, and I unpacked the computers and plugged them in, and everybody's using stuff, and I haven't taken the time to go plug back in my Windows Home Server and set it all up again. And so I've been, however long I've been living in the new house, been living without a backup.
Oh,
I
no.
should know better. What am I doing,
Kevin?
Out of
all the people.
What am I doing, Kevin?
You're being foolish.
I'm being foolish.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
But at the same time, you could become a data recovery customer.
Yeah, no, I'd rather just back up.
Probably not that awesome.
I'd rather just back up.
You know, just
I think I'm
gonna
take
go it
home
out of the box.
I'm going to go home after today's show. You've inspired me. I'm going to go back up. I've already got everything I need. I'm just procrastinating. Why? What's up with that?
You know, I could answer that question with that, just a look. You know, kind of like that look your mom gave you when you screwed up and you're like, I didn't do anything.
I never got that look.
Yeah. I bet you didn't.
So I'm going to go home and back up. You know, Kevin's a new homeowner.
Yeah.
First time homeowner.
Yeah.
He did some home maintenance, finally. Something that's been bugging me every time I'm on the phone with him. I hear this in the background, this beep. Anybody who's looking at any homes out there that have been sitting vacant for a while, a.k.a. foreclosed on homes and things, you'll notice that every home you go into, things beep. And those are the smoke detectors with the now almost dead 9-volt batteries, and they're beeping, and they're going all over the house and chirping. Kevin bought a house, moved into it, and has been living in it for a while and just tuned it out.
Yeah, I just don't hear it.
And I'm on the phone with him. I'm going, dude, what's that beep? And he's like, oh, so I think it's smoke detector. I'm like, you're kidding me. So his first maintenance task, he replaced a battery.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
Aren't you proud of him?
That's a lot of work.
You got to get a chair. You got to stand up, and then you've got to walk.
Well, first you had to buy the battery, which is huge.
That was out of control hard to do.
Yeah. You know, we got something I think is probably going to be a quick question. Pete's going to hate me, but I'm going to do it anyway. Tim, you've got a MacBook, and you want to know where you can get an adapter?
I have a MacBook Pro, and my adapter broke probably about a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And basically what happened, I'd be good and buy an adapter off of eBay for like $10 because the adapters at the Apple store were about $80.
Yep.
And now it says that I have no battery and it doesn't charge my battery.
That's not good.
Yeah, so
the adapter you bought may or may not be, A, the right one, or B, it may not be doing the job it needs to do. There's probably a reason it was $10.
Okay.
You know, whenever I have questions about Apple stuff and Mac stuff, and it's beyond what my world works in,
uh-huh.
and certainly with the hardware side of things, there's a guy you probably hear on this show from time to time. He's not here today, but he's the guy I'd go ask. Hey, dude, I need, like, a new adapter and stuff. Can you hook me up? So the name of the place in town is called Mac Media.
Okay.
And if the prices at the Apple store scare you, he's a good guy to go see because he's probably a little bit better price. He's local, which is always a good thing. And
uh-huh.
he's got a couple of locations here in town. You can find him online at MacMediaInc.com.
Okay.
And I know he's got a location in Old Town Scottsdale and one up in like Arrowhead.
He may
also have used power adapters because he's just that kind of guy.
All right.
So you give those guys a call down there at Mac Media, and I'm sure they will point you in a right direction or take care of you, one of the two.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Tim. Good luck. Thanks for the call. We got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, more of your calls and questions, and, of course, the show wrap-up. It's the Computer Corner. Stick around. final segment here on the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, where do they go, Robert?
They go to www.datadoctors.
No. Start over.
Data.
Right. Pete, can we start over? No, we can't start over. Where do they go, Robert?
datadoctors.com/radio. I got to get rid of the www thing.
Yeah, nobody does that anymore.
I know. I'm not cool.
If you do that, you sound like a noob. It's not good. No www.
No www.
My favorite is www. What's up with that?
Just two W's.
Two W's.
What's with all the W's
it
anyway?
It doesn't even work.
Two what was W's. The whole point?
Well, so there is a point to it all. It gets to be a long explanation. It's real technical. Nobody cares. But there was a point, and it's technically correct. But, I mean, come on. The word's about convenience. Right? It's sort of like the whole idea of an area code. Years ago, when we only had one here in Phoenix, you'd just dial 7 digits, right? And today, you dial 10 digits because we have more than one area code. And the whole WWW thing sort of is along those lines, and it's a lot more technical than that. But that's a fair explanation. So anyway, let's hook up the last couple of dudes hanging out there with whatever we can hook up with. You ready for that, Kevin?
Bring it on.
All right. Ben has been hanging the longest now, so we will help him first and hook him up with Mad Knowledge. Ben?
You know, they say you don't get enough of a good thing, right? So I went and purchased, over the past couple of years, 4 HP LaserJets 3200s. Love them.
Good.
Antiques, but works great. My wife has a laptop, we want to be able to print off, you know, we don't want to hook her up to the computer other than by a remote or something like that. How do I do it?
All right, so let me make sure I understand. Your wife has a laptop. She wants to be able to print to the printer that's hooked to a different computer.
Yes.
Gotcha. And are these two computers in the same house, business, whatever the case is?
Yeah, it was the same house.
They
yes.
both share the same internet connection?
Yes, there's a router for her laptop. I have a HP Pavilion.
Okay, but they're both plugged into the same internet connection?
There's a router, and she works off my router, yeah.
Okay, so this is all good news because you have everything you need to make this happen except for the knowledge, which is where we come in.
Aha, uh-huh, that's why I waited so long.
So this HP 3200 is plugged into your desktop machine?
Yes.
All right, so this is not too bad. What you need to do is go into your control panel and then printers on the desktop machine.
Printers, okay.
Yes, sir. Once we're there, you're going to find said printer, this HP 3200. You're going to right-click on it and go down to sharing is a choice. If not, go to properties, and then there'll be a sharing tab, one of the two.
I happen to have my, I just got to go to my desktop, huh?
Desktop machine. We got to start at the desktop because first we have to share before we can consume.
If
the desktop doesn't share, the laptop doesn't get to share.
Okay, I'm looking right here. Control panel gets me to my printers, right?
Yes, sir. And in there, you're going to find your printer. And when you find your printer, you're going to right-click on the printer and choose sharing, or if not, properties, then the sharing tab.
Okay, I'm trying to do it. Printers and faxes. Okay, here we go. So wow. I got my HP LaserJet.
Hey, Ben. Ben, are we starting all over again? Is that what you're telling me? You're killing me here. All right. Yes, you right.
I don't work as fast as you do.
You right click on the printer. I was giving you instructions, assuming you'd like write them down, because doing this on the phone is gonna take us into the 22nd century.
Well, I'll write it down.
Cool.
You're helping me. I'll help you.
Right click on that printer and choose sharing.
Sharing.
Once you've done so, you're gonna be at the sharing tab under the properties of said printer.
Okay.
There's gonna be two choices: don't share this printer. Excuse me. Don't share this printer, or share this printer.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what you want to do?
Share.
Yes, you do. You want to share this printer. When you choose the share this printer option, it's going to put a share name in there automatically for you. Remember that name. And write it down if you have to. Then you're going to say OK.
All right.
When you say OK, you've just shared a printer. Congratulations. Now you're going to go to your other computer. That would be the laptop in this case.
All right.
And you're going to go into control panel and printers and faxes the same place. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to see a printer. What do we need to do? We need to add a printer. So you're going to click where it says add a printer. And when you do that, it's going to walk you through this cool little wizard, and it's going to ask you, is this a local printer, meaning attached to this computer? And it'll say this exactly as I'm reading it. Or is this a network printer, a printer
network.
Attached to another computer? Which one are we going to select?
Network.
We're going to select network printer, and we're going to say next. And then we're going to say we want to find the printer, and we're going to type in the name of the printer that you just wrote down or that you just remembered from the other computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to click next a few more times, and like magic, you're going to now have that printer installed and be able to print.
Really? Because I called some of those big box companies.
Yes, sir.
They said I had to go all the way back to call HP and buy this $200 device.
Probably not. So those steps, if it was me in your world, I would make those steps do what I wanted it to do. And if you can't, just try again. It'll happen.
Hey, real quick, is there a fee associated with Foxfire?
No, there is not. And we got to run. Thanks for the call. Firefox is for free. You can download it and find the link at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Again, if you missed any part of the show, Kevin wants you to know you can check out all the resources, datadoctors.com/radio. Datadoctors.com/what?
Radio.
That's where you'll find it. Until next time, remember, if your computer ain't broke, or if you don't need it, don't install it. See you next time.